Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Man, this week Wednesday's really sick. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug LaSalle, and Vaughn with you on the radio program. Doug, you got to play in that DraftKings game and ship it.
Probably should.
DraftKings, great sponsor of the program. We have that TMA League, Attention Fantasy Football League Commissioners. It's time to restore the position of commissioner to its former glory by giving the people what they want, a fresh start. With the new leagues feature at DraftKings.com, you can play one-week private contest with your friends whenever you want. It's all at DraftKings. It's not too late to save the season for you and your friends at DraftKings. Don't wait. Hurry to DraftKings.com and save your season. Set up your leagues today. Your friends will thank you. Enter promo code QUARTERBACK and play for free with your first deposit. That's QUARTERBACK. Play for free at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. The title of his column on TheRinger.com this morning, What Just Happened? Brian Curtis, our guest here on the Appliance Discounter Phone Lines. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Stunned, sad, but hopeful that I will be wrong about Donald Trump as a president, just like I was wrong about the outcome of the election.
It was shocking that the Cubs won the World Series?
Yeah, that was 8 days ago.
Doesn't seem big league, as Donald Trump would say this morning, does it?
It is nothing in comparison to this one. I enjoyed your column. For those who haven't read it yet, it's on TheRinger.com. And you, I don't necessarily call it a mea culpa because it's not fault, but you just list things that you were wrong about, nonstop in this column. What do you think you were most wrong about?
I think the biggest thing was that a candidate like Trump could run a campaign that flaunted bigotry, misogyny, religious persecution. We could make a whole list, and that guy would be the choice for president of the United States. I mean, I think that's the base one, right? I mean, we can talk about electoral strategy or believing Nate Silver and all the data journalists who assured us that Hillary Clinton was a favorite, but I really think that's the basic one, you know, that just this guy's going to win the presidency, and maybe it's my own blinders. Maybe it's, me, the kind of people I pal around with and not understanding what was out there. But I went to the conventions. I watched Trump. I watched him give speeches. And at no point did I really say, oh, this guy can be president. And as we know this morning, he is president-elect.
Do you think the fact that Hillary Clinton, in the eyes of many, many people, is equally as flawed a candidate as Trump was?
I think that's certainly true, and I think, if you look at her strategy, it was essentially to disqualify Trump, right? She spent almost the entire campaign telling people he's not fit to be president. And what we saw happen last night is, one, there were a lot of people that didn't think Hillary Clinton was fit to be president, and two, there was an amazing exit poll number from Wisconsin. 63 people looked upon Trump unfavorably, and then Trump won Wisconsin.
Yeah, you said 63%. I read that in your column. 63% viewed him unfavorably, but yet he won Wisconsin.
He won. So, in fact, like, she was actually successful in telling America, this guy is not a good guy, he's not qualified, but then people voted for him anyway. Obviously that tells you something about those people. It also tells you something about her and the way they viewed her.
How do you think the polling got this so wrong?
I think we're going to go through a weeks long mea culpa about that. I think it's probably the same reason they underestimated Trump in the primary, which is that, people focus so much on Hillary turning out her voters, right? We spent the last couple of days reading about the Hispanic voting surges in Florida. Last night, if you watched MSNBC, Chris Matthews was sitting on set the whole time saying, look, all my guys in Philadelphia told me they met their number last night. They got the right number of people to the polls in Philadelphia to have a winning election in Pennsylvania. And yet all of these voters come out of the woodwork, and surprisingly, a lot of people voted for Obama and then voted for Trump, right? That was kind of an unthinkable thing to wrap your mind around,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Somebody voted for Obama 4 years ago, and they voted for Trump last night. And I think that's certainly part of it. I mean, maybe the biggest part, I also think we're in this thing where, do we think phone polls work anymore? People calling landlines and trying to find people. It may just be
no.
That polling methodology is just so, ancient at this point.
But I would have thought it would have been quote-unquote ancient in 2012, and Nate Silver, couldn't have called that one better, but he was, and the number, it's not just Nate Silver. I mean, you saw Frank Luntz last night apologizing for being so off. One of the things I saw Jake Tapper on CNN say, and I don't know if you saw this as well, Brian, I'm sure you were monitoring all kinds of different coverage in addition to your own work, but he said in Philadelphia he was speaking with people, and the Cat, my co-host here, and I were talking about this in the commercial break, you know, how he didn't succeed, how Hillary, excuse me, didn't succeed in suburban Philadelphia. And he said when he was there, it's where he is from, that there were a lot of leaners. And by that, he meant people who would lean in, and they didn't want to really say it because they weren't necessarily proud of it, or they were worried that they were going to get campaign shamed or candidate shamed, but that they would lean in and say, yeah, I think I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. And perhaps there was a miscalculation that was rooted in people not necessarily being straightforward. Do you think that that played a role?
Yeah, I mean, they call this phenomenon the shy Trump voter, right? Somebody who really liked him but was sort of embarrassed to tell both their friends and a pollster if they were voting for Trump. You know, I don't know. It strikes me as somewhat unlikely that that phenomenon is so widespread across the United States. I mean, Nate Silver was pointing out last night, like, Hillary finished about 2 or 3 points up in the national polls. She is going to, it looks like this morning, win the popular vote,
right?
Mm-hmm. Essentially a tie. So, you know, 3 points off nationally is not within, it's not crazy, it's within the margin of error. But it's also just, what's amazing to me is that I don't think Trump led a poll in Wisconsin for this entire election cycle. And yet this morning, he is the winner of the Wisconsin, the presidential election in Wisconsin. That's unbelievable.
I see this just posted. Mitt Romney got 60.9 million votes and lost. Trump has 58.1 million and is winning a relative landslide. Bottom line is Democrats were not energized by the choice.
Mm-hmm. That's part of it, too. And I think you see also the weakness of the Democrats seem to have an impregnable presidential coalition, right? They would constantly lose the midterms. They hadn't controlled Congress in a few cycles, but they would win the presidency. And then what we see last night is Hillary has enough votes to win the popular vote, but she's running up big totals in California and New York and places where they're essentially useless to her, right? Or useless only and useful only enough to win a popular vote victory. But she didn't turn out the votes in Ohio. I mean, I think the second guessing on this is going to be fascinating, and I think the biggest single one is going to be that Hillary Clinton spent so much time disqualifying Trump and didn't talk enough about policy, right? If you talk about losing places like Michigan, I don't think she's officially lost it yet, but Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, you know, where was Hillary going to those states and talking about the auto bailout, right, which is how Obama won a tough re-election? Where was she talking about how Obamacare would help those people, the stimulus? You know, talking about how she would help the middle class. I think that message was certainly there during the campaign, but it was much quieter than talking about what Trump had said about women and what Trump had said about nuclear weapons. And I think she just didn't get the message home.
Don't you think that part of that is she had to run, or she felt she had to run, as saying that she wanted to continue what President Obama was doing, except that I think they misread where people are with the economy. There's a lot of people hurting out there. They could point to unemployment numbers and whatever, you know, stats you want to cherry pick. But her message, and I read this in a few places, wasn't strong enough on the economy to appeal to even some of her base that were feeling the effects of an economy that's sluggish at best.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely right. I didn't hear her do a lot of cheerleading on the economy, though. In fact, I heard her saying was, you know, unemployment right now is relatively low, right? The market's done very well for people that have 401ks and that kind of stuff. And I agree with you that it's not certainly helping everybody. I haven't heard Hillary really sort of cheerleading and saying, oh, the economy's great, isn't it? Hasn't the Obama years been great? All I heard her was saying was, you know, that the results hadn't trickled in to the rest of America like she wanted. So she was in kind of a weird spot. She was trying to defend the Obama record, but at the same time, she couldn't really take credit for much of it. It sort of reminded me a little bit of Al Gore in 2000, you know, where she was sort of caught in this very, very strange place, and what emerged was a really muddled and unsatisfying message that didn't help her.
When this whole thing started, it seems to me that the Democrats anointed Hillary as their candidate, and Bernie kind of got in the way, but he was dismissed and run along. And the Republicans went the other way, saying whoever, they had 17 people at one point, and neither party seemed to get the candidate they wanted, or that the public wanted. Do you think both might look into a different way to go about choosing a candidate next time?
I think it's interesting, right? I mean, I think maybe it's not even a different way. It's just candidates like Joe Biden, right? And when we do this kind of fantasy, a rerun of the election, right, do we think Joe Biden from Scranton, Pennsylvania, has the same result last night?
I was about to ask you that question. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very hard to predict, right? But I just think there's no question that Biden would have done better in the Midwest and the places where Hillary struggled. I mean, that's him, right? I also think that, you know, the thing we heard before the election when we all thought Trump was going to lose was, boy, what if the Republicans had just nominated a normal, quote unquote, Republican like Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush or name some John Kasich, whomever, right? And now we look at it and think, well, you know, maybe that guy would have run a very conventional left-right campaign against Hillary, and maybe Hillary would have eked it out, right? Maybe Trump's special appeal, whatever it is, to rural voters who came out in force last night, to white voters who overwhelmingly won, was the key to this election, right? And maybe that was the one guy who was going to win it for the Republican Party. I don't think that's nuts.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, but one of the things that stood out as you read the polls along the way is that wrong track. You know, that question is America on the right track, wrong track. It was always overwhelmingly wrong track. And then you look at the rise of Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side and Donald Trump out of nowhere. And I just wonder how much of this was, the population of the United States saying we don't like business as usual anymore in Washington. Something has to change.
Yeah, I think that's true. One thing that Donald Trump was really, really good at was figuring out his opponent's weaknesses. We saw him just destroy all 16 of those other Republican candidates during the primary. And one thing he did during the general was not just attack Hillary as a Republican, but he attacked her from the left a lot, right? He attacked her on free trade and NAFTA and TPP. He attacked her in the way that Bernie Sanders attacked her. And I don't think a normal Republican would have done that to Hillary. I don't think a normal Republican would have called Hillary Clinton a crony of Wall Street, right? But Trump sort of had this kind of, and it was incoherent at times. It didn't make any sense if you tried to sort of lay it all out. But he was very good at seizing, like, here, what are the ways I can attack Hillary that someone thinks the country is going in the wrong direction, someone who, you know, for any number of reasons will work. And he obviously figured that out.
Ryan Curtis of The Ringer with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. How do you think he will be as a president now that it's all done?
Oh, my gosh, right? It's the great unknowable. I mean, this is a guy who was a Democrat a couple of years ago. This is a guy who I'm fairly sure has not thought very deeply about the act of governing, you know, and what he's going to do. And, like, what is his, you know, almost every presidency, I think, president-elect comes in with a couple of ideas about what they're going to do on day one, two, and three. And, of course, a lot of times that blows up and they have to figure out a plan B. I'm not sure that Trump has that at this point. I think early on we'll probably see him be very deferential, I would think, to Paul Ryan and the Republican status quo, because there's a lot they agree on, which is Obamacare, Dodd-Frank, cutting taxes. I would think those things would be the first priorities, and then it's sort of, but then you have to get into what does Donald Trump want to do? He talked a lot about infrastructure last night. Is that really is going to be his big plan? Is he really interested in immigration, or is that going to kind of fade with the pressure of professional Washington Republicans, who many of whom are in favor of immigration reform? I don't know, and I think that's the craziness of this election, is we just have no idea what's going to happen next.
Well, I get the sense that he will surround himself with good people, and you know the president has a lot of power, but there are checks and balances. I think we're going to be fine. Am I crazy for thinking that way?
Well, I would be interested in defining what fine is. You know, I actually think to a certain extent, yes. There is, if you're worried that Donald Trump is going to push the country into the abyss, you got to consider how much any president can really push the country into the abyss. I would just say that one of the things that happened in the primary was him creating this climate of fear for minorities, for Muslim Americans, for Hispanics, for immigrants. And I just, you know, to me, if you're in one of those groups and you're looking at the results this morning, you got to be scared, right? And whether that actually is an actual policy outcome that hurts you or just a climate that affects you when you get up and go to work every morning, that's going to be there. It's there this morning, and it's going to be there in a couple of weeks. And that's something that those people are going to have to deal with, and I think, and I feel really, really scared for that world.
What happens now to Hillary and Bill Clinton? Do they just kind of disappear into the horizon?
Well, they got that foundation, so they'll be fine.
Yeah, all of a sudden the foundation isn't much of a conflict of interest, I guess, anymore. Somebody on Twitter this morning said that they envisioned a Jimmy Carter-like post-political career for those two. I think that's probably right. You know, I can see Hillary with her sleeves rolled up in disaster areas around the world, raising money.
Yeah, sure, yes, you will.
She can give as many speeches as she wants now, right? To paid speeches, it's not going to hurt her anymore. She can fundraise like crazy for that coalition, for that foundation. It's not going to be thrown in her face. And I think it's going to be what's happened with Bill the last 8 years, right? Give speeches, raise money, run the Clinton Foundation, and, you know, she won the popular vote, right? She is an elder stateswoman of Democratic politics, and I imagine she'll have a very interesting career.
Final question for you, Brian Curtis, The Ringer, our guest here. Because it did, and I agree with my co-host Doug Vaughn, seemed like that Hillary Clinton, it was already known if she was going to run, nobody in the Democratic Party was really going to attempt to stand in her way, not necessarily out of deference, but because they figured they just wouldn't be able to defeat her. And then, of course, we saw Bernie Sanders do what he did. But who do you think is on the radar for the Democratic Party now? Now, I mean, Sanders won't be in the mix. Hillary Clinton won't be in the mix. Who do you think is on the radar for the Democratic Party?
It's very easy to imagine Elizabeth Warren taking the mantle of Bernie Sanders and saying there is this left populist campaign to be run, at least in the Democratic primaries. I can see that happening. Joe Biden is up there in years, but is a very ambitious guy. I imagine nobody slept worse last night besides Hillary Clinton than Joe Biden.
I couldn't agree with you more.
If you look, we think Trump won a thumping last night, and he did in the Electoral College, but he won those three Midwestern states by 1 point, I think, all of them, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. And you just think, boy, it doesn't take much to reverse that. And if you had a candidate that could go speak to those voters, and maybe that's Joe Biden.
What about Cory Booker?
Maybe. I don't know that he's, you know, he was a guy who was kind of rejected as a potential vice president because he was seen as having enough. I just think he could easily be painted as a crony Wall Street guy just in the way Hillary was because he is so tied into that world. But, you know, sure, why not? I think you may have 17 Democrats run for it next time, right? Look at this power vacuum.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the Democrats
couldn't agree more.
Anointed supporter lost last night. I mean, it's wide open.
How about a charismatic moderate anywhere? You think someone like that could emerge?
Somebody like, what's his name? Bill Clinton. I know. Yeah. Where can we find the next that guy? I'm sure, you know, I don't know that we have that guy, but I'm not sure the Republicans at this point thought that Donald Trump, who had no political experience, was going to win the primary and win the presidency. So who knows?
Brian Curtis, The Ringer. You can read his column at theringer.com. Very good piece and always good to have him on the program. Brian, appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, guys.
Brian Curtis The Appliance Discounter phone lines. Your thoughts on what Brian Curtis had to say. You can call in 855-282-8255, 855-CUB-TALK. That's how you can call in the Appliance Discounter phone lines. That's how you can text in. Plus, we have our email today coming up. We're giving away a gift certificate to Bishop's Post. $50 gift certificate, no less, Doug. How about you do?
That's a nice little gift certificate.
That's a nice gift certificate. Send your emails in the morning after at insidestl.com. The morning after at insidestl.com. Frank Cusimano coming up at 10 o'clock. The Cat, you got this text as well, I believe. Frank sent a text to us, Doug, and it was complimentary. I'd rather listen to your program talking politics than CNN. Good work, man. How about that?
Huh.
That's coming from a good place, a place of credibility.
Frank does a real show.
Yeah, he's
a real
guy.
Program.
Yeah. Boy, kudos to us, I guess, huh, fellas?
I kind of feel like peacocking around a little
bit. Yeah, we're kind of walking in tall cotton.
Nice. I take it. Well, let's not rest on our laurels, Doug. The worst thing we can do is start reading our press clipping.
That's true.
You know that.
That's true. You think this Trump election will open it up to any celebrity without any experience whatsoever now when the next election rolls around?
The moment, you would say yes. The truth, I believe, on that answer is how it actually goes.
Yes.
So if it is successful, then I would say the answer is yes. If it is not, then I would say people, both Republicans and Democrats, go, oh, my God, remember that. Those 4 years, never again. But at this moment, the answer certainly would be yes. But of course, in my opinion, it's of course the result on that will be, will a guy who has never held a public office be able to
govern,
win presidency.
The only thing similar was Reagan, but he'd had two terms
as
governor.
As a governor.
Yeah, but I mean, he got that spot because he had been a TV star.
But, you know, some of the thing with Trump, and I don't know how, you know, certainly diplomacy and foreign affairs is a big part of it. But you wonder if running a country is anything like running a business. I think that appeals to people, that maybe we start running it more like a business, cutting waste, you know, and trying to improve the bottom line.
Well,
one of the things, no one ever talked about the debt in this country,
more. Boy,
which
the debt
is insane.
Huge thing.
Trump didn't touch it.
Rubio did talk about it. I wasn't a Rubio fan, but Rubio did talk about it.
I mean, in the primaries, he did.
Right.
But we haven't heard either, or hadn't heard.
Yeah,
Hillary
climate change
or...
and the debt. Climate change being a left cause, the debt, which really should be a universal, just like climate change would be a universal cause, but it's more a cause on the right. It didn't get much play. Both of them did not get much play.
And I would think that would be a strong suit for Trump, who runs a business where you have to make business decisions. You're not going to be carrying this kind of debt, you know, if you're running a business, because your business won't last very long. But he didn't make that an issue at all.
I don't know how he's going to trim it without stepping on an awful lot of toes, because there's a lot of people who have their hands out wanting that entitlement. And it's not going to be easy to start cutting. It'll be a lot easier with a Republican House and Senate. He might have a chance to do it. But boy, there's going to be a lot of people upset when they say we're going to have to make some tough decisions here and cut some programs. Otherwise, we're all going to be broke.
I did find it odd that last night he said we all need to come together, Republicans, Democrats, we need to unify. And then I just saw on CNN, they put a scroll up there that a Trump aide said there are a long list of Republicans that didn't back us, and we're going to remember that. I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, it would be ridiculous for someone without the pedigree like Trump, who won, but, you know, isn't going to win the popular vote, to go in there guns a-blazing. I think that'd be a mistake for him.
Ken Bone just tweeting, don't worry, folks. Ken Bone saying, this was me saying, Ken Bone, don't worry, folks. Let's all work together. It'll be okay. Twitter replies, this is all your fault, fatty. Kill him. Hashtag tough crowd.
Ah, come on. Don't call him fatty.
Oh, those were his words. I didn't call him fatty. That's not my thing. I'm just excited about Prop 60.
I just want to see Hillary's concession speech. I want to look at her body
language. I agree with you. I don't know if we can play it live or what.
I would have stayed up until 5 to see that.
I had to show. I was so exhausted. Just like, this isn't. I was surprised when I woke up that, because I had no idea that Trump spoke. So I woke up and then I just replayed it back from where I went to bed to see how everything played out. And there's John Podesta speaking and telling everybody to go home and get sleep.
Didn't it also look like Podesta really didn't know? Like, he just went up there, I think, because he
shocked,
had to do something.
Absolutely
right?
Stunned. Mm. Absolutely stunned. I saw somebody saying, here's another 3-1 lead in 2016 that was blown. This is more Red Sox 3-0 Yankees. This is, and that's something that, you know, Al Gore, I'm sure not a day goes by where he goes, oh, my God, and how close he was. And Hillary Clinton now, same situation in the sense that she would come on the heels of a two-term Democratic president and win the popular vote but lose the electoral vote, not nearly as bizarre as what took place with Florida in 2000, but nonetheless, that it was there. And if anything, I would say it was more there for her than it was for Gore versus Bush. And this is, I mean, to me, don't get me wrong, it's a two-part referendum. The one underestimated portion of America with the rural voters who came out in huge support for Donald Trump, but the lukewarm turnout in support for Hillary Clinton, which to me is a referendum on her, and that will always be with her and her legacy. That will always be there.
Yeah, she's a flawed candidate, and I'll get back to also outsiders. I mean, Trump is an outsider, and on the other side, Sanders was an outsider. He got plenty of traction. I think this is also a referendum on the way things are done in Washington, D.C., and people are fed up with it.
Yeah, one of the networks had an exit poll that said 70% of the people are saying they're unhappy with the way Washington works. So that was certainly a harbinger of the way people voted, that we're ready for something different.
Even if it's Trump.
Apparently so. Yeah. Apparently so.
I honestly, I mean, I voted Trump, and I kind of felt bad doing it yesterday. One thing I wanted to ask you, your polling place experience. Mm-hmm. Like where I went, it was lightly crowded. It was about, 20 minutes to tie up the whole thing. And every time I go to vote, it does kind of restore my faith in the process. You know, everyone has fears about tampering or whatever. And my experience could have been better and was restorative in terms of my faith in the process.
Unfortunately for me, I didn't get there till like 6:30 because it was the office until 6:15 or whatever it was. But I wanted to make sure that I voted, even though that I knew that, my vote wasn't going to count. I was really enthused about Chris Koster and very disappointed and super surprised on how big the loss was. I believe he's a very good man and would have been a great governor. And that one bothers me, whereas I was not feeling that way about either presidential candidate. But nonetheless, when I went to vote in the primary, where I was going to vote for John Kasich, even though I get labeled as whatever I get labeled, it's just the truth. What is it? Kaiser Elementary, Doug?
That's it. Yeah, that's where you vote.
I wasn't registered there. So then I filled out paperwork to make sure I was registered for November. I think that was in March. And when I went to vote, they said, "Oh, there was a lovely young lady who was just in here voting with your last name, but we don't have you in here." So they still didn't have me. So I had to fill out some totally different thing, and vote.
I would have hoped that.
And there was nobody. But by the way, to answer your question, there was nobody there.
I would hope they would have said, "And Tim, we're going to count your vote as 5 you're very important."
Surprised it didn't work that way.
Doug, how was your experience?
Well, I voted absentee because one of my kids came home from school because he had to for a personal reason. So I took him to the polls and thought, well, I wonder, I might have to work all day Tuesday. I wonder if they'd let me vote absentee because I may have to work. But the one time in my entire life, I didn't have my wallet in my pants. I don't know why. I didn't have my wallet. I had no ID whatsoever. And I explained to them, I said, "You're not going to let me vote. I don't have my wallet. I've got no identification whatsoever." They said, "Well, do you have that sample ballot we mailed you?" I said, "Yeah, I got that." I goes, "Okay, you're good. Go ahead." So basically, anyone who had my sample ballot could have voted. They didn't ask me for one sliver of ID, nothing.
Yeah, but I guess if you have the thing they sent to your home.
Okay, but anyone else could have picked that up.
I had to show an ID, which I don't really understand how it works from place to place.
Shouldn't it be the same?
I had
everywhere?
To show an ID, and then they put it in the scanner, and they checked, and I was in there, and then I went and voted, and it was painless.
I'm all for showing IDs. I didn't expect to be able to vote without an ID, and I was able to.
Well, maybe it's like the people that were afraid to say they voted for Trump. There were people at the poll who were afraid to say they knew you were Doug Vaughn, so yeah. They just weren't elected.
Fans,
to vote.
Well, the guy said, "Sad Panda was probably working your polling place."
He said, "You have the sample ballot." I go, "Yeah." Okay, you're good.
They probably wanted to let me see your rump. They probably
there was
weren't
none yet. Of that. It was absolutely none of that. Thankfully.
When's Hillary gonna talk? I'm not trying to drive listeners from this show, but she's a little late.
She is supposed to speak at 9:30. It is now 9:41 in St. Louis.
And she's in that van.
Barack Obama is speaking at 11:15. Says St. Louis time, so I'm anxious to watch both of those speeches. But I agree with what Brian said. Next to Hillary Clinton, who had the toughest night falling asleep, although I think this might have been the case for a while, and for a couple of reasons. A, because he lost his son, being the primary reason, which then led to B, Joe Biden not running. And I'm not by any means, let me make this clear, portraying Joe Biden as the savior. But I think there would have been more enthusiasm for Joe Biden than there was for Hillary Clinton. I don't think that's a particularly bold statement. I don't know, however, if that enthusiasm for him would have been great enough to offset the enthusiasm for Trump. But I do think you would have had more people come out in support of Biden than you would have if Hillary Clinton. I think that really was the core thing when it gets down to it. There were people just super uncomfortable voting for her, and so they either didn't or they voted for a third party.
Well, you could have found any Democrat and they would have had a lower negative rating than Hillary, because there wasn't one Democrat with a higher one. So, but you could say that about the Republicans. If they would have had a legitimate political type candidate, say a Rubio or a Kasich, wouldn't they have been up by 15 against Hillary?
I don't know. And we'll never know. I don't know. Once a nominee emerges, if the other side starts digging into everything you've ever done. So for all we know, they would have come up with something on one of these other guys. I can't imagine they could have found negatives equal to what Trump brought to the table, but they would have found something.
How do you think Wolf Blitzer would have done hosting like the Cardinal pregame show?
Not that good.
No?
No.
What do you think Wolf would have done?
I think he would have been really good.
You think he knows anything at all about baseball?
Well, I don't.
He loves Natitude, actually. He's a big Natitude guy.
I'm still disappointed in Wolf for dancing at the Democratic coronation of Hillary Clinton.
He kept saying two things. I try not to kill other broadcasters because Lord knows I could use help myself. But he kept saying impressive lead. He used the word impressive. And he kept saying the same thing over and over again. They should have gone to their panel more. At least it's
I agree with that. It was basically Wolf, John King, who I thought did a great job, by the way. And Dana Bash, if I'm not mistaken, that was the main. And they didn't go to the panel until late at night.
And they could have killed because
I really wanted
they
to
weren't
hear
breaking any real news with the King stuff. So I would have just gone with that.
David Axelrod, and you didn't see him until late. I'm like, oh yeah, that's really why I started flipping around. And then then Rachel Maddow was just like screaming,
He kept saying two things. He said an impressive lead, even if it was just 50,000 votes.
Right.
And he kept saying that's significant. That's significant over and over again. It was because
they were trying to talk their way into a Clinton victory.
No, they had too much time to fill, and CNN was slow getting the results in, so nothing was really changing.
You should have read some texts asking for listeners to bang Wolf Blitzer. When we're slow, that's kind of my modus operandi.
No, but they got a whole panel sitting there with some interesting people. Let them discuss it for 5 minutes.
Well, you might have missed something. Wolf was.
But my point was, and I get that. But they kept saying, okay, an update on the races, and it was the same because they were slow getting stuff in. They weren't calling races.
Wolf was giving play-by-play and at one point just interrupting John King. He's going through, it might have even been Florida. And if you look down here in Dade County, wait, it's now up to, he's up to 22,000. Okay, well, if we go back here to Dade County,
right.
it's down to 18,000. Like five straight times he keeps interrupting and giving count updates. Like, oh, my God, I got to go to Fox. I can't watch this.
Doug, can you tell the listeners about Ryan Kelly? Because he's our title sponsor.
Well, Ryan Kelly is a fella, we didn't elect him yesterday, but I think everybody knows he is the best candidate to supply you with a mortgage.
Right.
What are those things?
Well, a thing called low interest rates and service. Those are the two main platforms of where Ryan Kelly's
mortgage?
Coming
what
from.
What is that, some kind of loan?
A mortgage
loan
is what you get to help you pay off your house. Right. And you want a low rate, as low a rate as possible.
Like a 9.
And as he told us, you don't want a 9. As he told us just yesterday, they've got 30-year rates in the 3s. They've got 15-year rates in the 2s. In the 2s. So if you're looking to buy a new house, it's a great time to get in the market. If you've already got a house and you've got an interest rate in the 4s, that's what I had. I had like 4.1. It still made all the sense in the world to refinance. And Ryan Kelly can show you how to do it and show you better than anybody else. He's the number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the Midwest. That's all. So here's the phone number to give him a call and you can get started on your refi. Or if you're looking for a new mortgage, here's that phone number. 314-781-9700. 314-781-9700. He also has a fabulous website that'll get you started with the whole process, thehomeloanexpert.com, the Home Loan Expert LLC.
There it is, our title sponsor, Ryan Kelly. Soccer fans, the St. Louis Ambush are back for another season, led by St. Louis soccer legend Tony Glavin. The home opener is Saturday, November 19th at the Family Arena. This is now available for our audience. It's more $5.90 the fan, KFNS, InsideSTL.com, listener rewards. You can get a 5-ticket flex pack for 50% off. Log on to the KFNS Listener Rewards section on InsideSTL.com to purchase a 5-pack of tickets. Normally $110, it's just $55. Use it for 5 tickets to 1 game, 1 ticket to 5 games, or however you'd like based on availability. This deal is only being offered through KFNS Listener Rewards, so go get it right now on InsideSTL.com. $110 worth of tickets, 5-ticket flex pack, and you get it for just $55. That's half off to you and me. Russ,
feels like it.
Audrey,
without doing the math, it feels like it is.
No, it is. And then you have this. You can go and enjoy the classic comfort fare at Bishop's Post. Our prize for email today: $50 gift certificate to Bishop's Post is the prize for email today. Yeah. They have select chef-inspired seasonal menu items such as the New Zealand rack of lamb and the Bishop's Post griddle burger. Their contemporary bar boasts a wide variety of specialty cocktails, seasonal brews, and over 200 new and old world wines, sure to please any palate. Come in on Thursdays to receive half-price bottles of wine, $80 or under. Friday special is the Chef's Fresh Catch. Saturday special is Queen and King Cut Prime Rib. And Sunday is Fresh Pasta Night. Bishop's Post is open Thanksgiving. Brunch from 11 to 2 and dinner 5 to 8. Bishop's Post, classic comfort fare. Support the sponsors and save with KFNS and InsideSTL.com. List rewards. Log on InsideSTL.com starting tomorrow at 9 a.m. and buy a $50 gift certificate to Bishop's Post. Our prize for email today for just $25. Doug, again, 50% off.
That's almost half.
Just click listener rewards on the InsideSTL.com homepage. It's starting tomorrow at 9 a.m. Man, y'all get to get rewarded.
I like the fact that they have a king and queen's cut.
I like that, too.
On the filet. Yeah.
I like that, too.
You get the queen.
I beg your pardon,
a little
sir?
Smaller. You like?
No,
you
I like the big portion.
All right. My bad.
Like the cattleman's cut.
The old 96er.
Mm-hmm.
John Candy.
I know. The Great Outdoors, sir.
That's a great
Best
one.
Picture 84.
I don't remember the dates, Tim.
The Best old picture. 96er.
Let's see.
I'm going to rent that.
Wolf Blitzer is the biggest dildo in journalism. Last night might have been the end of him. Doug, that comes from The Hills Have Thighs.
If you would just let John King get a thought out.
Yeah. Guys, Chuck Todd looked like a giddy schoolboy last night. NBC did a nice job with their coverage. It's from Danny Tanner. I didn't really watch. I wanted to see what Tom Brokaw had to say when I saw he was on set. Respect his perspective, so that's what I got there. Let's see. Republicans finally ran a campaign without the right-wing religious stuff. That's from Stephen Wilder. Yeah, that is the case, although Trump won 89% of evangelicals.
He did better than Romney.
Yeah. Maybe Pence helped him with that.
Yeah. Oh, certainly did to an extent, but they're still supporting him. Tim, can you please say what time the remote starts Thursday night? Please and thank you. That's from Dave the Pipe Layer.
That was nice. Dave. Very polite.
Very polite.
You see, the Trump era is the beginning of a polite era.
I would say we'll probably get the show going between 6:30 and 6:45. You know, we're on Bonnie Rotten time.
When do we plan to get her up on the dais so Doug and
it
I can get Wayne?
It won't be a dais. It'll just be a couple of tables there.
Ever since that
is she going to be there for the whole show, Tim?
I think just to talk it over with Jennings. Kind of get to know each other.
I see.
Probably talk Pearl Harbor. When's the last time she'd been passionately kissed? And when he says passionately, he means knees buckled.
Mm-hmm. Well, for her, it's probably on a daily basis.
She retired. Nice knowledge. Let's do some show prep here.
And that leads he's not in business anymore.
That leads to a nice kick in the jowls. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Yeah. It's a lucky night for Jay if he really gets kicked in the jowls.
I didn't think Jay was into tattoos.
Guys, Uncle Buck was on yesterday. That bug was entered by old Buck. Doug, Mitch T. Terry T. Cumstein.
Don't know what any of it means. This is the musical interlude between text and email.
You like that? It's when you get bad. A really good night's sleep and wake up the next morning, you feel better. You can take on more. It's just the best that you can be. How do you get a better night's sleep? I can't. I am on. From going to the Chase premiere, Ice Guardians on Monday, to staying up until midnight last night. Holy moly.
I got to sleep about 2:45 is when I went.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I stayed up for all of it.
Oh, my God, I did.
Madam Secretary, you're going to have to get out of the van.
Yeah,
you're going to have to get out of the van.
Taking the stage. Anyway, the point is get to Mattress Direct. Get yourself a great night's sleep. The guys at Mattress Direct have products that are designed to help you sleep at the ideal comfort, support, and temperature. It's Mattress Direct, STLMattressDirect.com. That's STLMattressDirect.com. It's STL because they're from here, and you can find them online. Or call them at 314-4-DIRECT, 314-4-DIRECT to get your Mattress Direct. Let them know you heard about them here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I see Hannah Ray's showing up at 9:50.
She got locked out.
And the Sea Monster locked her out. That's the way the Sea Monster runs this thing with an iron fist.
I know. Security's tight here.
Hey, sister. I thought class started at 9 o'clock. You ain't here at 9? We locked the door, just like Tommy Coughlin.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He did that, didn't he, on the giant team meetings?
Well, I guess today's Inside STL News team is going to be us scolding her.
I have a good view of the door, and I have to defend her. I think
she's been trying to get in for the last.
No, I think she actually was here. She was here like 25 minutes ago. She might have went out to her car and got locked out, but I saw her walk in earlier.
By the way, smokers in this room, Doug, the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. That would not be the three of us, but over there, the Plow, Hawk, and Iggy. I received a complaint from building management regarding there's a cigarette, I guess, thing. I don't even know what you call it because it's not an ashtray.
Too many butts?
Yes.
I'll clean them up today.
Thank you. Doug, sometimes they handle business here on the air.
They're biodegradable, but it takes a while for that paper
What's that,
to
like
disintegrate.
A week?
I would probably at least...
I'll be the first to admit it doesn't look good out there, so I'll clean them up.
Good for you, Iggy.
Look at that. Doug gets responsibility.
How about a tip of the cap to the legit journos last night that had to kill time for long periods of time? We're watching CNN here, and there's a reporter waiting. So, you know, they got
Breonna Keeler? I'm a big Breonna Keeler fan.
They got nothing to say. So this guy's standing
there.
Beautiful
and brilliant. You know what? That's what I need. I need that.
Okay.
I think I've earned that, actually.
You think she's hotter than Wolf Blitzer?
No, I didn't say that.
All right. Because Wolf was a little impatient. But the point is, it's like Doug Vaughn is standing outside the headquarters. Doug, what's going on there? Same as it was 20 minutes ago. We're waiting.
I'll do this again while you catch your breath. Fox had 7 or 8 people on the dais. And every now and then they would not cut somebody's mic, and you could hear them whispering into their cell phone or somebody coughing in the background. That's a hard thing to pull off, I'm sure. Hours and hours and hours of live television with 6 or 7 people coming in and election results that you're not sure of. It's not an easy thing to do.
Madam, you'll have to get out of the van.
I mean, they're still showing this car outside of the building in New York, and no one has exited. And this car has been up on CNN for 24 minutes now.
Oh, doors open. Is it possible that she's streaming right now, and she's like, I just want to hear the end.
Well, first let me tell her about Michael's Flooring. Secretary Clinton Michaels is now open in Darden Prairie. Come see their new awesome location. They'll have huge savings, almost everything in the store. Come check it out. Check out their Mohawk Smart Strand Silk with DuPont Sorona. It's Mohawk Smart Strand Silk with DuPont Sorona. Michaels wants you to shop the competition first and then come in, and they'll beat it. So bring in the competitor's bid, and they'll beat it. How about that? When you think of Michaels, you should think local. Michaels has been local in St. Louis for over 20 years. They're in St. Charles County. They're in West County. They're in North County. They're in Darden Prairie. It's Michaels Flooring Outlet. You know what it is? It's time for email of the day. Giving away this $50 gift certificate to Bishop's Post, so a very nice prize. Morn, following the eve of an emotional election decision, I was wondering if you could answer this pertinent query. If you are getting bottomed like the Dickens and nobody's around to hear it, did it actually happen? Twink about it. Tunnels 12,000.
Tunnels 12,000. I'm disappointed in his email.
Tim, I'm crestfallen. After my heart was broken via email, my emotions have now transformed into anger. I have received what is painfully obvious to me, a form letter, and I quote, "Dear, insert name here, I cannot see you anymore. P.S. Thanks for filling out that absentee ballot voting for Mr. Trump whilst we were having that amazing man sex." That's sent from a distraught Major Eric Shun.
Lost me on that one, Tim.
Yeah. Major Eric Shun.
Morin, so let me get this straight. The skinny twink boy that giggles in the background and only chimes in during a cuck situation. Or how explain he budgeted his most recent Dollar Tree run is not a gay gentleman. Hard to believe. But then again, we used to think Doug was straight. Oh, hello, Doug. I didn't see you over there. Yeah. Well, see you later. It's from Lenny at Dykstra's Curious Sister.
You know, you just got yourself eliminated from email voting consideration.
Guys, I've used this email before, but I feel it holds true today more than ever. I know a lot about methamphetamines, and they're great. How's Timberfake doing? Tony Lee throws herself from the Museal Bridge. We going to bring that back? How about that? How about that whole deal? It's from Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Matt, who bowls right there at Hank's.
Gentlemen, I have decided to start. Thank you. I'm very talented. Gentlemen, I've decided to start running my household via the Electoral College. Last night, I held a family vote to decide where we're going on vacation. Of course, Disney World got the most votes, but I told the kids that since I voted from the kitchen, we're headed to Branson. Thanks. Doug, that comes from Reeves.
Thanks. Reeves. Reeves. Reeves.
Let's see. Morning, boys. In honor of my love for that LeBaron-driving, rumpelicious sports anchor, I'm going to have Doug Vaughn's face tattooed upon my taint this afternoon. Colin Bigman?
Colin Bigman has been suspended. Colin Bigman has been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub leather-bound suspension log.
And finally, Doug, I've started writing your alliterated biography. Please hold your responses until the end. I just want to make you proud, Dad. Ahem. Tales are told of a teeny twink taking 10 tongues from tummy to taint. He was a handsy hoe with a hairy hog who had a hankering for horny hunks hanging on his hindquarters. late in life, lonesome and lubricated, this little lusting lady would leech on any long, luscious lollipop and lap up the lake of liquid left behind.
Doug, you're just sitting there?
Mm-hmm. He was a milky man with mucus of a tuchus, but some say you can still hear him scream, Dagnabbit Lucas. Doug, that's from Rory Pepperpaws.
All right. Rory Pepperpaws.
And that's what we have for the email today. Pepperpaws. A lot to work with, just a lot to... Seamaster said, not a strong batch today. No,
short and sweet, I'm going Reeves.
I liked Reeves.
I go with Reeves as well. I also like Manu Bowles and Hanks, but I went with Reeves. Reeves, congratulations. You got a $50 gift certificate to Bishop's Post. A very nice prize. It's the Hollywood Casino Press Box. I saw the Wunderkind in here. Is he filling in for Frank? Nurse?
I don't know.
Nancy?
I don't know.
Chasey?
I didn't see the Wunderkind.
Madam Secretary, please get out of the van.
Yeah. Frank Cusimano may be up next. If not, the Wunderkind is here. It's the Hollywood Casino Press Box. This is the Lion's Choice, famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Looking forward to talking it over with Jack Danforth today. I'll be doing that at 1 o'clock. So we'll have that for you tomorrow. Plus, Doug, we'll see everybody at Hot Shots and Fenton.
Jennings
will be there. Bonnie Rotten will be there. Timberfake Tony Lee, this mysterious brunette. We'll be there.
Mysterious.
That's right. There's a whole lot going on tomorrow at the Hot Shots in Fenton. Oh, won't you join us? Get there around 6:30 and pony on up. It's going to be a pony show for the ages. Time for us to shut it down for the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Seamaster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com live, the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.